Right now on VFN TV, Pastor John Kilpatrick is prophesying about how the fear of the Lord, based on the goodness of God, is being restored in the church. And four reasons. We'll begin today. One of the four, actually two of the four reasons of why that's taking place. And you'll be really encouraged. You'll be really inspired. That's right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, is speaking prophetically how God is going to restore the fear of God based on the goodness of God back in the church. And he's going to give us four reasons. Two of them is going to be shared on this program right now. As a matter of fact, take a look. Well, listen, Pastor John Kilpatrick is talking about four reasons why. Because the fear of the Lord is going to come to the church again. And thank God for that. Because you see people doing things like you're not even aware God's watching you. Let's join him now.
What the Lord said to me yesterday is, he said, I'm about to restore the fear of the Lord to the church. I'm about to restore the fear of the Lord to the church. Now, whenever I say the fear of the Lord, I'm not talking about the anger of God. I'm not talking about the sight of God that you may fear as being a mean-streaking God. No. What I'm talking about is God is about to restore respect in his house for his holy name. He's gonna rise up, and God is about to restore respect in the house of God and in the streets of this nation and in the halls of Congress. God is about to restore respect for his holy name. In the book of Revelation, when all kinds of things are going on, it said the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, should destroy them which destroy the earth. It said, them that fear thy name. One of the prerequisites in the last days for God to use anybody will be they must have the fear of God on them. It can't be a frivolity. It can't be frivolous. It can't be disrespectful. It can't be blasphemous. It can't be silliness. We are about to enter into a time that God is about to restore the dignity of his name among the house of God and among the people of God. And I say, Lord, start right here in Church of His Presence in Daphne, Alabama.
Yes, Lord, start right here, VFN TV, VFN KB, VFN family, amen, right? So the fear of the Lord based on the goodness of God is coming back to the church. And it's so powerful. I mean, we're listening to these amazing prophetic words, and God just really uses Pastor John Kilpatrick to speak prophetically. And these are encouraging and prophecies meant to prepare you for what's ahead. God does nothing unless he reveals it through his prophets first. Hey, we're about to go to a break, but I want to encourage you to comment below. What are your thoughts about what was just prophesied by John Kilpatrick? It's exciting, the things that are taking place. We would love hearing from you. Be sure to comment below, and we'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're gonna work for you. I wanna help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I wanna bless you with my book for free. That's right, I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about, it's free. Claim your book, don't wait a second longer, and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? it will kill you. But we've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission is to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. It's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so these are encouraging prophetic words. Now, Pastor Kilpatrick is going to talk about there's four ways that God's going to restore. There's four ways that God's going to restore the fear of the Lord based on the goodness of God in the church. The first one he's going to talk about is the church will see the glory and experience the presence of God like the church has never experienced in history. The second one he's going to talk about is the church will witness the final shaking of all things. Let's go there now.
Now, there's four reasons why the church will fear the goodness of God. I want to cover them with you right quick. Four reasons why the church in these last days will fear the goodness of the Lord. The latter church, the latter day church will see two things. They will see the glory of God, and they will experience the presence of God as no other church in history. I have often told you this before, and many of you know it firsthand. On Father's Day of 1995, I was there from the get-go. I was there in the very first service, and I was there for the entire revival. I know what happened on Father's Day of 95. I know revival broke out. We'd pray 2.5 years, and I know that revival broke out. But I also saw something else happen that I didn't even know what it was, although I just got through preaching a 10-part sermon on the glory of God. And whenever I hit the floor that morning, it felt as though I weighed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds. It was like a huge, huge security blanket was tossed over me. I didn't have a fear. I didn't have a yearning. I didn't have a wish. I didn't have any kind of desire except, oh God, whatever this is, don't let it lift off of me. And I lay there for 4 hours on the floor. For me to lay anywhere awake 4 hours is a miracle of unbelievable proportions. But I lay there for 4 hours. And what I saw was, and what the Lord said to me was, he said, I'm going to put you on the road, and I want you to go, and I want you to travel to the places where I send you, and I want you to start talking about my glory because you've experienced it. And he said, I want you to start talking about my glory. He said, because in this revival that has come to Brownsville, he said, I am reintroducing to the American church my glory, which they have not experienced for a long, long, long time. And he said, as you go, I'll give you the information. You preach what I give you, and as you go, I'll put you out on the cutting edge of my glory before it ever shows up. I want you there talking about it and helping pastors and churches get prepared for it when it comes, because if you don't, when it comes, they won't know what in the world it is. So the Lord said to me yesterday, he said, the latter-day church will see the glory and will experience the presence of God as no other church in history. So when the Lord shall come, the Bible said in Thessalonians, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. There's coming an adulation, a new admiration of the Lord. In these last days, the glory of the Lord is coming. The presence of the Lord is going to increase. And God's people will admire him and adore him. It will be an adulation unlike anything that the church has ever known or experienced before. It says, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Beholding God's goodness and feeling his glory will cause amazement to come upon people. I remember whenever revival first started, I had so many mixed emotions. My mother had just died. I wish so bad that she could have been there just to at least seen it. I think she did see it, but I couldn't see her see it. And I wanted her to be there to see it and to experience it. And it was the most, I had so many just paradox. It was a paradox of emotions. I also had just lost some of my dearest people in my church because they didn't want revival. And the Lord told me, he said, you may lose hundreds, but you'll gain thousands. And I didn't lose but 38 people, 36 or 38 people. Maybe it's 34. I can't remember now. But it was in the 30s of people that I lost because revival broke out. And we lost 30-something people. But we gained thousands of people. We went from 1,700 every week in regular church to over 5,000 a week. But when I saw people coming in and planes landing at the Pensacola Airport and rental buses, charter buses coming in and delivering people at the front door of the church, and people that had not ever been in church before and they just were drawn there to that church, had no religious upbringing, never been in a church before, and when they were brought into the glory, whew, I can feel it now. I said, when they were brought into the glory, the tears would run. It wasn't anything to do with the preacher. It wasn't anything to do with the singing. Even before the song service started, even before the preaching started, they would just come in and be squalling their eyes out as they walked down the aisles. Oh God, give us again another revival of the glory of God coming into our churches in America. And I remember seeing them crying. I remember seeing them so touched and bent over as they came into the presence of God. And what brought the people to Brownsville was not Steve. It surely wasn't me. And it wasn't Lindell. And no advertisement. We never advertised. And 4.5 million people came from all over the world. Why did they come? Because people were getting the word out among the nations. If you go to that church down there in that seaside city called Pensacola, Florida, the glory of God is there. And people came because of the glory of God. I've got news for you. They're coming back because of an increase of the glory of God. Somebody give him praise. Holy Spirit showed me that powerful conviction is going to come on leaders and churches right out of the clear blue. They're going to come in as any other Sunday, and they're going to get up and they're going to have their little thing planned out and they're going to start. But all of a sudden, when they start their services, something's going to happen. God's going to touch the preacher. God's going to begin to touch people in the crowd. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be shouts of joy. They won't know what to do, but God has just invaded the house. That's what's going to happen real soon in the United States of America. Give him praise. Holy Spirit is going to start invading so-called houses of worship. They will be totally transformed almost overnight and will resent anything that will go on in that church henceforth that is not pleasing to God. You will hear more and more people say, Jesus came to me in a dream. I sent. You will hear people say, God came to me in a dream and it so transformed my life, and it will humble them. He might not have come to them in their daylight hours, but the Lord is going to start appearing to people in their dreams. And when they wake up, they'll never be the same again. It's coming as sure as I stand behind this. Come on, give God praise. Woo! Sharaba ramandabo sarabayanabo kantababo. Many people will say, I've experienced His presence and I'm changed. He's put a new love in my heart. I've never had this kind of love in my heart before. Apostates, former apostates will say, He didn't even condemn me. He just reached out to me in love. Keep in mind, yes, there are going to be terrible things happening in the world because the tribulation must take place. And there's going to be great shakings that's going to take place in the nations of the earth. Yes, there will be. But it's going to cause repentance. I remember when the towers fell in New York. I knew that something was going to happen. I didn't know that it was going to be that, but I left the pulpit on Sunday morning at Brownsville. I left my seat on the platform, took the pulpit, and I heard these words come out of my mouth. I didn't think them up. I said, you will cut on your television. If you go back and look that up, you can look it up in the archives at Brownsville. And I said, you will say when you cut on your TV, oh my God. And I said, friends, I don't really know what I'm saying, but I said, it's going to happen by Tuesday. Forgot about it. Went and preached in Lexington, Kentucky on Monday night. I preached in Lexington, got up to preach, and I said, in the morning, you'll cut on your television sets and you'll say, oh my God. Well, I was in the back of my coach asleep, and Tony and them that travels with me knocked on my door, and we were in Atlanta, and I was going to preach for Jensen that night with John Hagee and a couple of other people. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because when the buildings came down, they barred all flights. So John Hagee couldn't fly up to be with Jensen that night. I was supposed to be there with him. So Jensen called him and said, could you please be here tonight? Stay with me, because he said nobody else can fly in. And he said, we'll talk about things. I said, well, I really need to go home. I said, I know my church is upset and I know my family's upset. I really need to. He said, no, please stay. So that night we had a meeting and they had to open up the doors. People were just everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And while we were there, while I was there on the coach watching it, I saw when the second plane hit the towers and you could see the buildings collapse. You could see the big towers on top of the buildings as they just collapsed and came down. And revival had just ended in the year 2000. And I said to the Lord, as I saw the buildings come down, I said, Lord, does this mean that revival is over? Because America was still under the influence of a powerful revival in Pensacola. I said, does this mean that revival is over? I said, it looks like judgment has come. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, as emphatically as I've ever had the Lord speak to me, He said, no. He said, revival will come again. He said, but it will be in conjunction with end time events. He said, when the world begins to see the things that has been prophesied in my word that's going to come to pass before my coming, He said, it will shake the nations of the earth. And He said, there will be a greater revival than they have ever known before. Somebody give God praise today. I said, somebody give God praise today.
You know, I remember walking into the green room, I guess you would call it, or his place that he would go before he would come out and speak. Steve Hill was in that particular room at the same time. We were coming there to pray for Pastor Kilpatrick, and he wasn't going to speak that day. It's kind of a long story. You can find out more about that at a different program. But Steve Hill was there, and he's on fire. He's just high energy. He was ready to go out and minister. He was scheduled to minister that night, but he ministered that morning instead because Pastor Kilpatrick, he was there for that reason that day, because it was Father's Day, and there was a father whose wife had abandoned the children, and his father got nominated as Father of the Year. But listen, on Father's Day 1995, Pastor John Kilpatrick, a vision that he was given, I believe in 1981, 1982, of what was going to take place in the future, was about to happen that Father's Day in 1995. And he had prayed, he believed God, he prepared, he built, he just gave his whole everything, and he came through a real difficult time. So I want to encourage you, if you're going through a real difficult time and things, you know, you believed, you spoke things out, you prayed, God showed you clearly, but it looks like in the natural it's not going to happen, don't give up, because that was the very moment that Father God was going to answer Pastor John Kilpatrick and show him how awesome of a father he is. Just powerful. Isn't this exciting? Listen, comment below. We want to hear your thoughts. I'm sure there's something that God's laying on your heart. Maybe you're encouraged. Maybe you're inspired. What are your thoughts about the prophetic word that was just shared? We're going to be right back after this break.
We'll be right back. The church needs to be leading the way in this conversation.
Where is the church?
The church is totally silent about race. We are ourselves dysfunctional in our ability. We're family, but we're a dysfunctional family because we cannot talk about the elephant in the middle of the room.
Right.
And until we do, then the people in the street are taking up the conversation. And I think that they are God's judgment on a silent church.
Whoa.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we go out there to be able to gather like we normally gather. We think it's a standard gathering. You know, I was there working with my wife and with young marrieds and ministry and with the men's ministry and just love the church, love the people there. But all of a sudden, you know, he began to speak and it just seemed kind of standard when Steve Hill was speaking. We were kind of used to it. We're in that mode. He says, I can't wait to pray for you. I can't wait to pray for you. I can't wait to pray for you. He said it over and over and over again. And of course, eventually at the end of his message, you know, remembering the wonders of the Lord, I believe it was that he was speaking on, that he got out and began to pray for us. And it was like we went from a state of just being just stuck in this tradition. But as he began to pray for us, he just lightly touched the top of our head like this, very lightly. And he just say, more, Lord, more of your presence. You know, it was just like a small trickle of the presence of God. And it was just like, then he would pray and he'd pray and then somebody else would be touched and somebody else would be touched and he'd be going all over the place to be able to pray. And if you understand that you have to go after God, you have to go after the glory of God, the presence of God. God's, if you read the songs of Solomon, he's always like pulling back. He's pulling back to see if you'll come after him. And so Steve kept praying and praying and praying, and it got thicker and thicker and thicker. And all of a sudden, it was just like something shifted. And all of a sudden, the revival, we had no idea what God was going to do that. He just broke out in a powerful move of God. And I remember at one particular point when, you know, we were kind of tattered and torn, you know, in life. So God was going to heal us first there at Brownsville, Assembly of God. And so I remember coming up, and Steve was, and I, you know, I don't just fall down for, you know, you shouldn't just fall down because somebody prays for you. If in fact you can't stand up, you can't stand up. And so, but right prior to the revival breaking out, God gave me a dream. And in the dream, he showed me going down under the glory of God. And I was face down. And I remember thinking, because people were still walking around talking, I'm going like, God's here, he's here. But I was face down up against the, you know, on the ground in this dream. Well, God had me experience it before it actually happened. So that day, Father's Day 1995, and everybody has their different experiences, but I'm standing up front, and this evangelist, Steve Hill, comes up, and he, very wonderful person, by the way. If you didn't get a chance to meet him, you missed a wonderful, wonderful person, man of God, funny. But he sat there, he takes his hand, he places it lightly on my forehead, and he says, more, Lord, more, Lord. And it was literally like a whole wave of the power of God just hit me. I know this seems wild, right? It just hits me. And I literally off my feet, I go back and literally land on the ground. And it's like I'm under the glory of God. Like, I probably just needed a big whack, right? It's like, boom. It's like, oh, my goodness. I didn't get hurt. It didn't bother me. I mean, it was awesome, actually. You know, God, I'm telling you, God is so powerful. Day one was amazing. I remember we're watching what's happening, what's taking place. You know, you don't know that it's going to happen another day. You think this is it. And I remember every one of us at some point during this, because it kept going, you know, we didn't want to end it, you know, and some powerful stories of Pastor Kilpatrick. Once Pastor Kilpatrick said, get in, this is God. And he goes down for hours, you know, and he just talked about that we knew as our shepherd, that it was good, it was safe to go. We just went after God. At one point, all of our children were in the cafeteria area, this long hallway of the school that we had purchased and renovated. And we wanted our kids to be in the glory of God, our young kids. And so we started going down the hallway. We know each other. We're not even talking to each other. We're just walking like classroom after classroom after classroom, trying to get to the cafeteria. We're beelining it to our kids. And we grab our kids, and we don't even know what's going on. We're like bringing them to the sanctuary. And I remember my daughter, Amber, she's with us now. She's an administrative assistant with me. She also worked with us on the TV television program and got a wonderful husband, Blake. But she was a young little girl then. And so Steve Hill took these children, kind of put them in a circle, and he grabbed their hands. And we're just trying to understand how the glory works. And I'm sitting here watching this take place. And he says, "More, Lord." And all of a sudden, the power of God just hits the children. And as soon as that happened, it's literally like all the wind, like, I don't know if you've ever been diving before, but it's like you have no oxygen. It's just gone. And it literally, and then all of a sudden goes, guess what? God took a spirit out of me. He gave me a new spirit. God, David talks about this, you know, it's what happened. You know, we always talk about that's when we all got saved. We thought we were saved. We got saved. It's not true. I mean, obviously people were saved, but God literally, you know, replace the spirit. The spirit put a right spirit within me, I guess, or whatever. And it happened to some others as well. I remember Brad Ogden talking about this. He was a cameraman, and it literally all of a sudden is, and he had to sit down on the camera thinking, "What are you going to do? You can't breathe. You're about to catch his breath." And all of a sudden, I mean, God can take a broken, tattered, and torn. If you're a pastor right now, and you're thinking about, "Oh my goodness, I don't know how this thing can be fixed." I mean, God can just take all that brokenness out of you. He can take that whatever that is that's weighted you down, you know, spirit of heaviness, and he can replace it with a spirit of joy. And it was just like, boom. I mean, didn't ask for it. He just did it. And he was preparing us and preparing me, I know, to be able to do the things that I'm doing today and to work in revival. So that's some of the things that took place. Well, be sure to comment below. We love hearing your thoughts. You know, just being this community where we pray for each other and just kind of post our needs. Comment below. More prophecy is coming. Guess what? This is like a two-week nonstop prophecy where we're sending encouraging prophetic words out to you that you can believe and be not only be established but to be successful, like 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, "Believe the Lord, you'll be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed." Success for 2020, right? I want to pray with you right now before we close. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience. God, I pray that you would inspire them, that this living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword word of yours goes out and penetrates their life and lifts them up and encourages them and inspires them. We just ask you in Jesus' name. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.